we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are so glad that you have made WMIE 91.5 part of your day. Here, as we are on our way to work this morning or on your way to groceries or whatever it might be, we've got some appointments that we're going to be having today, and I just wanted to let you know that we appreciate that you have intentionally turned to this spot on the dial so that you could be refreshed. A little over a week ago, I was in our boys' ministry class and was in Acts chapter 3, and I said, this verse here, this is the reason that we call the radio program the Refresh Radio Program, so that seasons of refreshing from the Lord can come into our life. And so we repent, we're converted, so that times of refreshing can come our way, that our sins may be blotted out. It is a great, great thing. So the gospel is not bad news. The gospel is good news. The devil would try and think that God is trying to steal all your fun, that he's a killjoy. And nothing could be further from the truth. In reality, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so God really does have your best interest in mind. And today is getting off to an interesting start. By the way, I will just say this. I have an incredible office manager. She doesn't get to work full-time because of our budget and because of workloads and stuff like that. But I've told her, I said, you started off as a secretary. You're now labeled an office manager. And I said, if my schedule keeps going like it's going, I'm going to have to name you executive assistant. So she does all the same thing. But she is phenomenal, because guess who went off and forgot their notes today as I was getting ready to come in. I knew the passage, but I had things written down that I wanted to bring your way. And so I was able to call her, and she was able to take a picture of my notes with her phone and text message it over here. So we're going a little combination old school, new school here today, as we bring handwritten notes on a piece of paper via electronic communication into the radio studio. So we're going to talk today about a blessing. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. A blessing that no one wants. A blessing that no one wants, but if you're a child of God, it's a blessing that should come your way. And when it does, you won't have the reaction that you would necessarily think that you would have. So Matthew chapter 5, I want to begin reading verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Those are all things that we have talked about already. Verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Today we're going to be talking about the reality that when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we are blessed. And that's a blessing here in America that very few people want. But it's not, first of all, I want to tell you this. First of all, persecution is not new. Persecution has been going on as long as there have been people of faith. So I want you to know that that's been going on for a while. Second, it happened in the Old Testament. It happened in the New Testament. It happened to Jesus. It happened to Jesus' disciples. In fact, the scriptures say that it's basically something that is guaranteed to those who are walking with their God. The third thing that I want to let you know is this. Persecution is not extinct. For those who track statistics and martyrdom statistics, they will tell you that more people have been persecuted and martyred for their faith since 1900 than in the entire history of Christianity leading up to that point. That's a staggering statistic when you hear it. And that number is not diminishing, it's increasing. Just a few weeks ago, I believe it was on Mother's Day, there were three churches in Indonesia, a country where over 90% of the population is not Christian. But there were three different churches that had bombings that day. And there were people who, they were going to church that day to worship the King, and they ended up meeting him face to face. So we're going to talk about persecution today. We're going to talk about what the word means. We're going to be talking over the next several broadcasts about it. It's something that the American church is extremely uncomfortable with, but other churches around the world, they understand that when persecution breaks out, revival is taking place and is getting ready to take place. It's getting ready to get kicked up a notch. And so there was one particular country where we had representatives that were talking with them several years ago. And they said, look, if you can provide materials, we will provide the bodies. We will provide the Christians. All we're asking is that you would resource us. And our people said, well, we're pretty sure that we can do that. And they said, and one more thing, please do not pray for persecution to cease in our country. They were talking about traveling to another country and said, please do not pray for persecution to end in our country, because it is that persecution that is driving us into the presence of God. It is that persecution that is causing the church to grow. It is that persecution that is causing us to make sure that we are people of genuine faith, not counterfeit faith. And it was like, well, now there's a message you won't hear preached very often in America. So we're going to talk about persecution. What is it? So blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. First of all, that word persecuted means to be followed, but it's not just someone who is tagging along. It's not someone who is lost that is looking to you for direction. It is somebody who is basically stalking you, that they are pressing you forward, that you suffer persecution. In the Old Testament, it had a similar definition. The word persecution meant there to run after with hostile intent. In other words, there were people who were hunting you down to kill you simply because they did not want you to exist. When I saw that they were following and they were pressing forward, in my mind, I went towards the old walking the plank scene on movies where you were on a ship and they said, you're going to walk the plank, and if you weren't walking fast enough, they would press you forward and press you forward and continue pressing you forward until there was nothing there for you to hold on to any longer. And I want to tell you this. First of all, it's not just persecution for persecution's sake. It is persecution because of righteousness' sake. It is on account of your righteousness with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is the reason whereby the persecution is coming. It is not somebody that just does something to you, that happens to you, and you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's being sought out because the enemy is ticked off that you have right standing before God and he doesn't. So I don't know about you, but I've never enjoyed getting in trouble for something that I didn't do. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in a missions conference and went to dinner with some other pastors that night. And one of them happened to lean over, and they knocked over a glass of water that there was no one sitting there yet. We were some of the first arrivers. And knocked over the glass of water, and the place that they knocked over was directly in front of me, and the person hadn't sat down yet, and so they told the waitress, and one of them came and they took the tablecloth off, and they were bringing another tablecloth, and the person that brought the tablecloth back said, oh, and points at me and says, oh, well, we want to put this on there so he'll have another tablecloth to knock water over on. And it's like, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I didn't really relish the thought of getting in trouble for something that I hadn't done. I mean, and she ended up teasing me about it the rest of the night. Finally, the guy who actually did knock the glass of water over fessed up and said, yeah, it wasn't him. It was me. He's not lying. It really wasn't him. But she still teased me the entire time. Persecution is kind of like that, only it's not lighthearted. It's not something trivial like spilling water and getting a tablecloth wet and having to have to replace the tablecloth. It's not that. Persecution happens because of your relationship with Jesus and what you are doing with that relationship. Okay? And so righteousness, I want to remind you that righteousness is about right standing before God. It is about being justified by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It shows you as just, it shows you as innocent, and it shows you as righteous. And so there is that standing, and you say, that's why I'm being persecuted. It's not because I have done something and I deserve it. It's because I have a relationship with God, and this world hates my God, and they hate everything that has to do with him, and so persecution comes as a result of that. So persecution isn't, well, I did something that I should get in trouble for, and I did get in trouble for, and you know, feeling like, well, I'm just the most unfortunate person in the world. Persecution says, look, I am exactly where I'm supposed to be doing, exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, exactly the way I'm supposed to be doing it, and getting in trouble anyway. I don't know if you've ever been there, if you've been there standing what you felt like was all by yourself while everybody else thought that you were in the wrong, but God said you were in the right. But when that is the case, Jesus said you're blessed. You're blessed. And so, and I will tell you this, when you're being persecuted that way, it's good to have godly counselors that are there to remind you and reinforce your conviction that the Word of God is true. So I never liked getting in trouble for as a child. And, you know, every once in a while we'd get in trouble for something we didn't do. And people never liked that. And so one of the things that I have tried to communicate with people through the years, when they are being punished unjustly, shall we say, as I will ask them a question, let me ask you something. Have you ever done something that you deserved to get in trouble for that you didn't get in trouble for? And they said, well, of course I have. And I said, how did that make you feel? Well, I was kind of relieved about that. And I said, well, you know, if you're getting in trouble for something that you didn't do, just remember some of those times and it will help you get through. I'm not talking about balancing the scales or anything like that. I'm just saying, look, there have been enough things that I've done wrong in this life that I didn't get in trouble for, that I don't need to be so myopic and fixated on this one little episode where I didn't do anything and yet I got in trouble anyway. That there were people who were persecuting, reviling, it goes on to say in the next verse. By the way, I want to tell you this. When you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, you have done nothing wrong except for represent Jesus well. Jesus says, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. That's what it went all the way back to the beginning of the Beatitudes. Verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's yours. It's yours. Don't forget that in heaven, for all of eternity, it is all about righteousness. Don't let the trouble and the turmoil of this world deprive you of the reality that heaven has to offer, because it will be worth it all. There, the old chorus says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I'm telling you, just a few seconds in heaven and you will forget about every unfortunate event that ever happened here on earth. It will be worth it. So we go on down here to verse number 11. Verse number 11. And it says, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. So that word revile, it means to defame, to chide, and I added a few other descriptions here. To chew you out. Anybody out there ever been chewed out by somebody and you were in the right? I have. Here's another expression that might help you in the day-to-day understanding of revile. Somebody decides that they're going to rip you a new one. they have taken it upon themselves to rip you to shreds because of something. When I was in retail, my company had one policy and they decided to implement a different policy. And they put it in writing. They sent it out to all of us managers. And as a customer came in and was expecting the old policy, not knowing that there was a new policy in town. And I explained to them that what they were looking for, there wasn't, we could no longer do that. I was following corporate policy directly to the letter of that they had sent out. I had it in writing. I was right. Not the way that I wanted to handle it. I could have probably handled it a little bit differently. But that night, that person, after they chewed me out, ripped me up, spit me out on the ground, they proceeded to traipse through a very public place, cursing me out, having just a horrible, horrible experience. And then after they left, they decided to write a letter to the president of the company, who contacted my general manager, who came over and told me that I was wrong. And I explained to him the policy, and he said, well, you know, now the person's gone up to the CEO level and all of that sort of stuff. And why the CEO wants to know why he's being bothered by this. And I said, it's because of the policy. I got chewed out by the customer. I got chewed out by my general manager for doing my job. And I said, you don't have to worry about that. My apologies, sir. I will make sure that it never happens again. And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I thought the policy was what was the words that were on the page, but now you're explaining to me what the policy is. And I just want you to know you won't have any more problems from my store. And he said, no. And I said, yes. You know, now I understand what the policy is. Being verbally assaulted is no fun. And so I encourage you, to be merciful. Be merciful when you're dealing with other people. The persecution that's talked about is the same thing that is talked about in the previous verse, in verse number 10, when it says, say all manner of evil or speak things against you. It means that they speak things that are hurtful and they are evil in effect or influence. Now, there are different definitions of evil. Sometimes there are things that are evil in character. Sometimes there are things that are evil because we have deviated from the virtuous position that we once had. But this is an evil where the purpose is intentionally to injure or to maim. It is vicious. You know, there are warnings that come up on some of the news stories that you'll see. Be careful. There are graphic images here. You are about to see human brutality at its worst. Listen, it can not only be acts that take place with a person's hands, it can be words that are spoken with somebody else's mouth. If you were to put that in a modern term, a 2018 word, it would be the concept of bullying, where people make fun of other people for the color of their skin, their height, their hairstyle, just because they don't like them. They can bully you because they're bigger, but they can also bully you just because they have a mouth. And the purpose of that is to instill terror. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Terrorism is designed to paralyze believers with fear. God wants to mobilize us through faith. And he says that they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. In other words, it is because of Jesus living inside of you that people say terrible things about you. They say deceptive things. If they can't explicitly say it, they will imply that there is something evil about you simply because you love Jesus. You know, if the time comes that being a Christian in America is ever outlawed, I pray that there will be plenty of outlaws. That there will be plenty of people that will say, you know what? I am not going to deny my God. I'm not going to rebel against him. He hasn't changed. You may have changed the laws, but God hasn't changed. And therefore, I have not changed my opinion of him. I have not changed my trust and my faith in him. And I am going to continue to live for him, whether it's permissible according to the law or not permissible according to the law. I will not deny my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't ever give that up. In verse number 12, it says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So in verse number 10, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse number 12, he says, instead of lamenting over it, instead of crying about it and moaning about it, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Celebrate what is going on, because when you are persecuted, you have a great reward in heaven, because they are treating you exactly the same way that the peers of the prophets treated them. Now, you've got to realize a prophet's job was to live the truth. Let me put it this way. A prophet's responsibility was to know the truth, to live the truth, and speak the truth. Even in times where people did not want to hear it, they were called to speak it. When it was permissible, they lived it. When it was impermissible, they lived it still. Prophets call people back into relationship with God. I pray that in 2018, that there will be a spirit of boldness that comes upon God's people that says, I know the Word of God, I know the God of the Word, and I am going to live it out. I am going to love my community. I'm going to love people the way that Jesus loved them, and I will not deny him. And he says, great is your reward. I don't know of anything better that this world has. This world tends to offer you money and things and trinkets as rewards. I've been given a lot of awards, a lot of plaques through the years, a lot of trophies and things like that. And I say, you know what? I didn't do it for a plaque. I didn't do it for a trophy. I did it because I love Jesus. And I'm looking forward to what reward God has, much more than a reward. When my parents decided to sell their property that they had for 69 years, there was one storage shed, and everything that was in that storage shed was a trophy. And the one thing they almost all had in common was they were all broken in some place. And I was like, man, so much effort people in this world pour into something that has no eternal value. For you and I, representing Jesus well and being persecuted for it, we have a great reward coming our way. Don't let the world steal that reward from you. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.